feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. When we call up on no and show up, man, them the shot toss. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that thing go grata-ta-ta. Switch my whip, came back in black, I'm starting saying rest in peace to Bon Scott. Close that door, we blowing smoke. She asked me light a fire like I'm awesome. Act a fool on stage, probably leave my show in a cop car. It was legendary through a TV out the window of the montage. Don't your girlfriend is a groupie, she just tryna get it.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, with my amazing partner, Boris. Hello. Our show is live on your radio, also live through our app, The Cure, on any smartphone, and our website, godisacure.com. We're broadcasting today live from Miami through satellite, available in 11 states, now live also in Pensacola, Omaha, Huntsville, Alexandria, and Pittsburgh, and soon after the show on any podcast player. This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We provide testimonials to let people know that we are not alone, as well as experts and inspirational speakers. The testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. I do believe we all suffer, and we hope to be a source of healing for each other. My source of healing is God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. As we know, life can be challenging, but always know there's always someone who cares. There's always hope. Happy, happy first day of summer, guys, and soon to be Father's Day. Our hearts and prayers go out to all those who are hurting these days, and those heroically helping others despite great danger. We pray for peace beyond understanding, for God has never let us down, and this too shall pass. The song we played earlier was Rockstar by Post Malone and 21S. We live our lives as if we were a rock star, glorifying rage and violence as if there was no law. We further close the doors by blowing smoke, but it does not quell the fire that's within us. With us today, Alex McFarland is a best-selling author, a religion and culture analyst, a worldwide speaker, evangelist, college professor, and a broadcaster. Oh, and an apologist. Mr. McFarland is frequently guest on many TV shows and radios. Welcome to The Cure, Alex. And I was just talking about, Alex, about the song that just played. If you listen carefully to the words of the song, which I love, by the way, it's got a really good rhythm. But it talks a little bit about moral decay, lawlessness, and anarchy. We hear it in our songs, in social media, and in the entertainment industry. Yet, in today's world, it's become a reality. I have never seen times like this, and I'm wondering if we're coming to the end of the world. Am I missing something?
No, I think that you're probably having a lot of discernment from the Holy Spirit. I do think we're near the end of time. I think we're very near the return of Christ.
You talk about 10 signs that are indicative that the end is near. I can see the rise of evil, people making their own truths. What's your take?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the Bible does prophesy that near the time of Christ's return, it says evil men will wax worse and worse. And the Bible says that perilous times will come. And one of the signs that characterizes the history of the world just before the end is lawlessness. And we've seen that just basically. One of the things that I believe accelerated the last of the last days was the return of Israel to their land in 1948. In May of 1948, Israel reconstituted itself as a nation. And that something like that has never been done in world history. After a 1900-year absence, Israel became a nation again. Hebrew was all but a dead language, and now today Hebrew is one of the most powerful languages in the world. By the way, there are more millionaires per capita in Israel than anywhere else in the world. There are more museums per capita. And Israel, a lot of people don't even know that Jerusalem has a 1.2-mile subway system. You know, 20 years ago when everybody got online with America Online, AOL, many people probably still have an AOL email address. Well, that software was written in Jerusalem. And it really is a miracle. We could probably do the entire show on the miracle of the rebirth of the nation of Israel.
And is this predicted in the Bible, the rebirth of Israel? I'm sorry, I didn't read the Bible. Yeah. I use apps. I get the highlights through apps. But I know you did.
I believe that the wiring of the planet and all of the internet and the move toward cryptocurrency, and even last week, several people were in the American news saying that, you know, with the Black Lives Matter and just the cry for racial justice and social justice, what we need is a one world government. We need to move beyond nationalism, and let's convene the UN and make a one world government. My goodness, it does sound like end time scenarios, but let me give you some good news, though. One of the other precursors to the return of Christ is the gospel of salvation being taken around the world. I'm in Central North Carolina, and about 90 miles from where I sit is the Museum of Language, and it's run by JAR, Jungle Aviation Radio Service, which is also part of Wycliffe Bible Translators. Now think about this. Even as we speak, there are more than 100 Bible translators putting the Word of God into all the language groups that currently don't have it. They usually start with the Gospel of John, and one of the things that I think shows that we're near the return of Christ is the Word of God is getting put into so many language groups, the gospel is going around the world, and every nation is hearing about Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I love life. You know, I'm a happy camper. I love life, but we need to understand that there is the afterlife. And according to God's word, to go to heaven, we need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And I would just encourage all of your wonderful listeners, if you've never called on the name of Jesus to be saved, do that today, because that's the most important thing you'll ever do, is to have a relationship with Jesus, who is coming soon.
You know, you made such an amazing point, and you took my next question, actually, because I did want to get an optimistic point, saying, you know, as we are seeing an increase of withdrawing from God, and how we're pushing God and God we trust, taking it out of the dollar bill, taking God out of church and school, and, you know, and it was at one point not cool to let people know you're a Christian because they thought that, oh, you're a hypocrite and all this. But as times get more difficult and as people suffer more, I see more and more people turning to God.
Yeah.
Is that not
so? Oh, I think so. And listen to this. When the quarantine hit, I was doing a fair amount of media interviews, and we had, in a two-week period, 3,000 people. The ministry that I've been doing for 22 years is called Truth for a New Generation. Sometimes we call it TNG, Truth for a New Generation. And we generally do conferences, but you know, nobody.
Yes, because you work. I know that you work with young people, which I think it's wonderful because the youth is our future. We will continue talking with Alex McFarland about the state of moral decay we are presently experiencing.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Everybody's talking about sex. Everybody's talking about X. Like no one really wants to find a genuine connect. Before they even look at you, they move on to the next. And I know. Then they say, don't you worry, I'm the one. Then the very next day they say they're done. And I don't want to listen to the juice bun. No, I don't want to listen to the juice bun. Walking to a party, feeling out of place. Everyone's too cool, everyone's too fake. I try to start a conversation, but I can't seem to relate.
Yo, I'm about to get an Uber.
Cause you're so, so cool. You're just way too cool. And I don't really care if you're king. And I don't really care for gold things. You'll be pointing at some girls and saying, yeah, we had a fling. Huh. You're not fooling me, you're just a puppet on the string. Just a
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome back and thanks for tuning in.
Remember that you can listen to the radio show live through our app The Cure with Amy Cabell or later as a podcast.
The song that just played was You're So Cool by Brandon Heath. It seems like some people say things but do quite the opposite. Most of us have learned to trust but double-check everything these days. We no longer fall for the spun. It seems so many are fake, and when we start a conversation, we can't relate. Unless you're cool. If you're so, so very cool, it's easier to comply. It seems like you are king, and we become unaware that we are puppets on a string. We're talking to Alex McFarland, an honest conversation about moral decay, the state of lawlessness, rage, and anarchy. Alex, in the most important prayer, I was just realized this. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, the Our Father who art in heaven, the most important prayer. We acknowledge God. We acknowledge the promises. But there's one thing and only one thing he asks of us in that prayer is for us to be forgiving of one another as he forgives us. Yet we're quick to judge, even quicker to hold someone's past against them. We're watching the destruction of history and opposite views are aggressively suppressed. Do we still believe in redemption or are we more concerned with being cool?
Oh, wow. Great question. Did you say more concerned with being cool?
Right. Fitting in with the mean, what everybody else is okay with or what's not going to bring you down, those kind of things. Because, you know, faith is doing the right thing despite it being scary.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, before we go too much further, I want to say I am so impressed. This is my first time to be on The Cure, and I was looking at your you know, video quality during the break. I'm so impressed. You guys are doing your show with excellence. And it's just very, very wonderful, the standard of quality you've got, and I feel quite honored to be on.
Thank you. God is good. What can I say? He's very good.
where are you guys located?
Miami.
Oh,
uplifting, Miami. Uplifting sunny Miami.
The power of technology. Satellites, internet.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you're right. You mentioned the Lord's Prayer. prayer, sometimes called the model prayer, beginning, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it does say, forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, I've always I felt like we who have been forgiven should be quick to forgive. And
yes.
I heard it said one time that we should all be quick to give or receive an olive branch. You know, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And our nation certainly needs peacemakers now, doesn't it?
Yes, certainly.
Alice, can I ask you a question? I was listening to one of the commercials in the break, and there is this division between pastors and politics. What's your opinion? Should pastors be involved in politics?
Oh.
I do. I think that pastors of churches should speak out on moral, social, and political issues from a biblical perspective. You know, there's kind of this idea that religion and politics don't mix. But in reality, first of all, the Bible is an intensely political book. I mean, from Moses going before Pharaoh to let the Israelites go, I mean, that was dealing with political leaders too. Jesus, you know, at the time of Christ, there was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they comprised this thing called the Sanhedrin, which was the legislative body of the Israelites. And I know at the time of Jesus, the nation of Israel was under Roman control to a degree, but Jerusalem had its own standing police force during the time of Christ. And whenever Jesus was talking with the Pharisees, he was really, that would be like talking to a congressman or a senator. He was dialoguing with the religious people. And let me say this. There was a man named St. Augustine, and he lived 354 to 430. And Augustine was really smart and a believer. He wrote a book called The City of God. And, you know, we're on our way to heaven, the city of God, of course. But Augustine said, as long as we're in this world, we have an obligation to the city of man, that we have one foot in heaven and one foot on earth as long as we're living here. And I really do believe that ministers should speak about moral and political issues from a biblical perspective.
One of the things that God taught was to follow the law, to be obedient, to do those things. So when Boris talks about should pastors be political, yes, they have a certain obligation to speak the truth. But when my priest one day said the Holy Family they were illegals when they fled Egypt, when the baby Jesus was gone, the whole army was after baby Jesus to kill him, I thought that was a legitimate case of asylum. Like, you're running for your life. So but funny. He said because they didn't have papers, they were illegals, so it's okay. But wait, I thought God was perfect. He doesn't do illegal things. I mean, can you please explain this to me? Because I still had to continue going to church after that.
Great, great point. In Romans chapter 13, Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 13, he talks about the powers that be. And scholars have understood that to mean good civil government. And not only government and order, but even law enforcement officials and army. You know, God gives nations and individuals the right to self-defense. And it says in Romans 13 that the government is actually a minister of God. Now, let me explain about the highest ethic of all, because how we live morally, that ethical, you know, precept. And so fleeing for your life to save life, I believe that God does sanction the saving of life. That's like when, you know, it might be against the law to, it might be against the law to stand on a sidewalk and protest. But if it's to help shut down an abortion clinic, you know, that's good. Let me see something here. It says,
so you mean to tell me that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus weren't illegals?
You back to the day.
No, they were.
Thank you.
Hey, here's
it's so good to hear that.
No, they were not illegal.
Thank you.
did God have a morally sufficient reason to tell them to go to Egypt? Of course, to save the Son of God, because Herod was trying to get all the babies killed, you know? Now, I had an atheist. I was debating at a university, and this atheist said to me, well, God must be unjust. I said, why do you say that?
Well, we'll find out why he said that after this break.
Okay.
They're going to cut us off anyway.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
In the kitchen, one more chair than you need. Oh. Should be, it's not fair. Just 'cause you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. They say, who cares if one more light goes out in the sky of a million stars? It flickers, flickers. Cares when someone's time runs out, if a moment is all we are, or quicker, quicker. Who cares if one more light goes out? Well, I do.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome back, and remember, we're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on your radio, our app, The Cure, on our website, godisacure.com.
Also, you can watch the podcast after the show, or just listen to it anywhere where podcasts are, The Cure.
The song that just played was One More Light by Linkin Park. Some of us remember the fear from our previous falls. Who wants one more trip than needed? We are angry. And we feel that we should. It's difficult when it all seems unfair, because all we see is the anger, but it doesn't mean the hurt isn't there. And when our spirits are low, it doesn't mean God took a break. He's constantly with us, tending to every light that goes out in a sky of a million stars. And with him, our time never runs out, for this moment is not who we are, is what we make out of it. We're talking to Alex McFarland about the state of moral decay we are in now. Alex, these evil behaviors that we're dealing with, is it a matter of systemic racism or systemic brainwashing?
That is a great question. Racism is a terrible thing because, you know, there's really only one race, the human race. You know, we're all human beings. And we have, there are different ethnicities. And, you know, my ancestors, I'm told, were Scottish. And, you know, I'm Caucasian to the bone. But I can't help that. That's just the genetic makeup the good Lord gave me. But you know what?
It's okay. It's not your fault.
I know. People are beautiful. Aren't people beautiful? Just it's
all the way.
My privilege in ministry to travel all around the world, and my goodness, I've seen Europeans that are white, and I've been with Africans and Sudanese people in South America and Mexico and five continents, and human beings are so beautiful and so unique, and we are made in the image of God. Now, I honestly believe, of course, there are racial abuses, and that's a terrible thing in business. In law enforcement, anytime you have human beings involved, there is the potential for abuse.
And it's not just one way. Racism can be in any way. It doesn't just have to be skin color. It can be your financial status or what they believe or how they hold your past against you. There's many different forms of racism. just like there's many individuals that are evil. But to say systemic, what I've the trend that I've noticed is a certain narrative that's been pushed in media, in schools, in society, and it's getting us to just lose sight of the bigger picture. And I'm wondering if we're told to believe the systemic racism, and at the same time we don't realize we're being systemically brainwashed.
You're right. Oh, you are so right. And I do work a lot with young people, and I've talked to so many young people that have been brainwashed, and they believe that, you know, if you're a certain ethnicity, in my case, I'm a Caucasian, and that you can't help it. You are racist. I've had people say that, you know, you're a child of white privilege. And, you know, they don't know. I mean, we were dirt poor. My goodness gracious, growing up in the South, we were so poor. I mean, I know what it is to have your electricity turned off. Literally, the bank came. I was like 10 years old. The bank came to put us out of our house because my dad, who was a farmer, we were dead broke. 25 years ago, and by the way, I'll be the first to tell you I've been blessed. God has been good to me. But 25 years ago, when my wife and I got married, I worked three jobs to get through college. I mean, I cleaned gutters, I mowed yards, I worked. And I give God the glory. I'm blessed. But I earned three college degrees with zero government money, zero. And I had $58, my wife and I, between us, $58 and the shirt on our back. And now God has been good, and we've worked hard. But I really, to the best of my knowledge, and let me just say this. Jeremiah 17 in the Old Testament says the heart is deceitful and wicked. We all have a heart that has sin in it. And it says in Jeremiah 17 that we can't even understand the depths of our own sin, that the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? In other words, we can't even comprehend our own capacity for selfishness and sin.
Isn't that why God gave us the Holy Spirit? You know,
he
gives us understanding that way. I mean, we do depend on him 100%.
Yeah, exactly. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and helps us understand the need to repent and turn away from sin. I do not believe this is a systemically racist nation. I do not believe I'm a racist. You know,
Let me tell you this, Alex. I know what it's like to feel that people hate you or people don't like you and stuff like that. I know what it's like to feel like the bad guy. I know what it's like to hurt. So I kind of understand others that are hurting. I kind of understand this. Yeah. But I saw things so differently when I didn't have God in my life. And things were so much more painful. And it's not that bad things don't happen. I'm just so much more good about it. You know?
Yeah, amen. And amen.
It's a different world. It's a different point of view. And it's just a matter of letting them know that, you know, we're all human. We're all equal. Yeah. We do love each other. It doesn't matter.
We do.
What you look like, what you've done, where you've been. I know what it's like to be hated. I know what it's like to be the bad guy. And it's okay. I was wrong. And I'll admit it. I was never that hated. It was just the way I felt about myself. God needed to open my eyes.
Amen. You know, I want to challenge everybody and myself to pray that God would truly put in our heart love for each other. Because like I said, we're all human beings, and we need each other. The whites need the black. The black need the white. Hispanic, Latino, Asian. We need each other. We really do. And do you know what? I was very shy growing up. In fact, listen to this. To graduate high school, I was in an English class where you had to give a speech. I couldn't give the speech. I went to summer school. so I could graduate rather than give a speech because I was so introverted. But when Jesus came into my life, I stopped being afraid of people and disliking people. God put in me the realization that people are wonderful and people are a blessing. And I just want to challenge everybody, tell the lady at the grocery store that you appreciate her.
Acknowledge people. But here's my challenge question, Alex, if we can do this in 2 minutes.
One minute.
Yeah. We tend to easily believe those things we can see, but there's so much more to it than we know about, like the greater good in the midst of chaos. Right, wrong, or indifferent, someone's pain is real, even if we haven't experienced it ourselves. But we know because we know hurt. And in the same way, we know God is real because he gives us a loving heart, as you said. And we want to reach out to those unable to see the light. Being a culture expert in those trying times, what is the best way to do this?
Well, God bless you. Great question. And I know we're short of time, but the pathway to a more moral world and the pathway to a more loving world begins with me. And again, I want to say to everybody, God loves you. Jesus loves you. And Jesus said in John 6:37, the one who comes to me, I will not reject. Turn to Jesus, open your heart, give him your problem, and let Jesus begin to turn you into that light and that loving person that will change the world. It begins as he changes us, but we need it so much. And I want to say how much I appreciate The Cure. I'm listening to you guys, and I'm kind of getting the vibe of your show. You're doing a great work, and you guys are making the world a better place.
It takes one to know one. It was a great pleasure. And I mean, I hope that we can come to a point, to a place that we can listen to each other's point of views and have discussions again. Yeah. But it was a great pleasure to have you, Alex. I know that your time, you don't have much time. You're a very busy guy. You're welcome to stay with us longer if you'd like.
Thank you for being on the show. We've got a church
picnic. We'll get you next time. Well, thank you for being on the show. More information on Alex can be found on alexmcfarland.com. Thank you again, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you so much.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
You're in a better place, I've heard 1,000 times. And at least 1,000 times, I've rejoiced for you. But the reason why I'm broken, the reason why I cry, is how long must I wait to be with you? I close my eyes and I see your face. If home's where my heart is, then I'm out of place. Lord, won't you give me strength to make it through somehow? Never been more homesick than I.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Hi again, and thanks for tuning in. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on your radio, our app, The Cure, for any smartphone. On social media, just look for God is a Cure.
Okay. Later the show will be available as a podcast. Search for The Cure, and please listen to it. If you like it, leave us a comment, and rate us also, especially if you've put 5 stars.
The song that just played was Homesick by Mercy Me. We can be in a better place, feel broken, and rejoice in God nonetheless. The more we get to know God, the more we miss his face, and the more we suffer, the more we long to be where we feel at home and not out of place. We turn to God for strength, sometimes just to make it through another day. In our darkest times, we receive God's greatest comfort and an enormous opportunity to rectify our faith. There is so many more homesick now.
I also want to remind you about the contest we started and we had been ongoing for a while. Let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show. Thank you so much for everybody who has sent the show a request song. You can do that through our contact us page on godisthecure.com. And if we play it, you will receive a $25 gift certificate.
The moral structure of our society has been fractured. But most of what we see in the news are the worst case scenarios. There's so much good left in the world, and God is so ever present. For those of us who believe in Him and follow His ways, we'll have all things work for the better. We have all had trying times in different ways, yet we still survive. We still get through. We still move forward. We find ways to reconcile because love is greater than rage. And God is bigger than hate. Times can look scary and moments can hurt. Nonetheless, we keep our faith, for we love God in good times and in bad times. And when it's bad, that's when it really counts. Life can be full of disappointments, and sometimes people have asked me, "Where is your God when bad things happen?" Do you suppose it's okay to believe in God only when everything is going well? He did promise us troubling times. Have we forgotten the true meaning of unconditional love?
Oh, I see we have a listener.
Caller.
Caller. Listener and a caller. Actually, caller that listens. Michelle, you are now live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to interject my thoughts, which hopefully will help some of your listeners understand, in terms of what Alex McFarland said, that he has not experienced and he does not believe in a systemic racism because we're all created in the image of God, and that he has been told that he has a white privilege just by being born with skin color that he had no choice in. Just like black people have no choice in their skin color, neither do white people. I don't consider myself a racist. And by me saying I have white privilege...
Presume that you are white?
Yeah, that I am white. And for me to say that I have white privilege and ask the forgiveness of people that are black, I am actually telling them...
That you're better.
That you're better. And I will always be superior to them because I have a privilege that they will never have by the color of their skin, which God gave them. And that's what people don't understand.
It's a racist thing. Yes.
That is racist. If you keep propagating, we have white privilege, they will always be black. We will always be white. So you're actually telling them, I will always be better than you, superior than you, and you need my help to elevate me so I don't have this privilege. And
that therefore, I must apologize.
Exactly.
That's terrible.
That is a form of racism. It is. And in terms of Black Lives Matter, of course they matter. In the literal sense, every life is precious. But in terms of Black Lives Matter movement, they are anarchists calling for the abolition of the police and the defunding of the police, calling for the abolition of prisons in their platform.
And Christianity,
for
religion.
Marxism. Make them anarchists. So yes, Black Lives Matter, literally, all life is precious, except when the 30 million black babies are ripped out of the womb. Those beautiful black babies' lives don't matter to them. Except when 88% of Chicago murders are black victims perpetrated by black murderers and criminals. Those murdered precious lives don't matter, except when it's a black person wearing a blue uniform. That precious life does not matter. So really, they should change their logo to Black Lives Matter, killed by police only matter. And that is why I find it so egregious and agree completely with Alex. Racist exist, of course they do, but they're individuals. There is no systematic racism, and I can prove it with one statement. Barack Obama.
If we had a black president.
We wouldn't have a black president twice.
How many different colors do you see walking these protests? And how about how many different colors do you see walking these protests? That shows that there's not systemic racism.
There is no such thing as systemic racism. And there is no white privilege. There is privilege of choice. There is privilege of behavior. Because you take any race, if they are a gang member, a drug pusher, a violent criminal, none of them have privilege. MS-13 is not black. Drug lords in Mexico are not black. People that commit violent crimes and rape children that are white are not black, and they have zero privilege. Zero. They're all scummy people. They're all criminals. They're all evil. This is not about white versus black. This is about good
versus
evil.
It's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem.
It's a sin problem, it's an evil problem, it's a criminal problem, and it comes in every single skin color.
In every form, shape, and size.
Yep.
There's
and
no exceptions.
I wanted to interject that because no one says it, no one mentions it, and I say this as a non-racist, white Christian person who believes everyone was made in the image of God. And I'll give you one last thought. One last thought. I live in a state where there are missionaries. No one locks their doors of their cars, and no one walks to the other side of the sidewalk when you see five or six missionaries that are black. So really, think about this. Is it skin color? Is it racism? No. It's our judgment, what we see, how they behave, their character, and their actions.
And
that's the final thought I wanted to say. You're not afraid of black people. You're not.
It's just criminals.
You're not racist against black people. You're racist against criminals.
Yes. Thank you, Michelle, that you made excellent points. On that note, I want to share a KJV Bible verse devotion. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Romans 14:14. The verse falls in line with not judging one another. You have no right to judge and condemn another believer. If you see something is wrong, correct them out of love. What does this mean? Make them aware that what they are doing is wrong, in a gentle but firm manner, and offer to help them make the right decision. If the person becomes defensive, don't fight them. Leave the discussion and pray for them. Let love lead you in all your confrontations. Dear God, I ask that your love will guide me in every situation I'm faced with. When it comes to correcting people, may you guide me, Lord. I know how easy it can be to become judgmental. This is not what I desire at all, Lord. I desire to build people up, not tear them down. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Do we have time for another prayer?
Sure. So okay. Let's Almost finish done. With a prayer to guard my heart. We will run to you, Lord, whenever we feel afraid. We know your hand will protect us and lead us into your shadow. Almighty God, where we can rest and be safe, we know that bad things can happen to all of us, but you're always there to bring good out of it, and you've promised us that no one can harm our soul, the innermost part of us that you've destined for eternity, because we belong to you. You will give us safe passage all the way to our eternal home. But while we are still living in our temporary house on earth, I pray you will not only guard our hearts, but also our minds from foolish thoughts and actions. Expose the lies that try to twist the truth. Give us discernment, Lord, and wisdom for the good times, the hard times, and all the in-between times. Let us never leave home without your protection and without the spiritual armor you've given us. We place our trust and dependence on you today, Lord. like the commander of a great army, you are in control, and you will go to any lengths to ensure the safety of those under your wing of protection. We believe you want good, not harm, for our life, and we are asking that you will replace fear with the confident assurance that you will always, that you are always here with us, protecting us from harm. Others may try to hurt our bodies, Lord, but they can never destroy our souls. I'm safe with you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Yes, we are safe with you.
Thank you also to Robbie Dillmore for his continuing guidance. Check out his show and his other Pilgrim's Kingdom Pursuit. It's awesome. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Until next Saturday, guys, thank you for tuning in. Stay safe, keep the faith, and much love.
And happy Father's Day tomorrow. And please check our podcast, The Cure, or our app, The Cure, or our website, GodIsTheCure.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episode.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit GodIsTheCure.com.